Are you a fan of pro wrestling, comedy, and combat sports? Then we have the podcast for you, because we cover that and much, much more.
Do you like to debate with your friends? Do we have the perfect segment for you? It's the 531, where we take any given subject, break it down to a top five. From there, we debate it down to three, and then into that number one spot.
If you want to get a hold of us, find us on our social media. Search Working Fans Podcast on any major social media platform. And if you want to find the podcast, search for us on any major podcast platform, as well as YouTube.
Working Fans Podcast. We put in the work so you don't have to.
All right, everybody. It's the Combat Cast, and we are excited to do this show today because it's UFC 300 week. And, man, should be a good card this weekend. But, hey, before we get started, Chevy, tell them about our sponsor.
All right, we would like to continue to appreciate the support of our sponsor, Game Up Hard Hydration. They make it an adult beverage with a special blend of electrolytes. Comes in four flavors currently, a variety pack of fruit punch, orange, lemon, lime, and grape.
Awesome. Yeah, and it's a full flavor, 110 calories per can, low carb. So enjoy, and not too many pounds you have to worry about, guys. All right. Let's talk about the schedules we got coming up after this week, too.
All right. Next week, April 19th, PFL 2024 regular season, Koryshkov versus Umalatov. Local fighter Brendan Ward going to be on that one. UFC's taking a break, so we're going to talk PFL. And then April 27th, UFC Fight Night, Niklau versus Perez. Kopp had to pull out. I believe this is like 9 canceled bouts for him or something. Guy just can't get into the ring, even though all he does is talk shit. So we'll be talking about Niklau and Perez instead. And then May 4th, we're back with UFC 301 from Brazil, Sao Paulo, I believe. Pantoja versus Ursek.
All right. So big fights coming up. A lot of stuff to look forward to. Before we look forward, let's look at that pass real quick, because I was too busy watching WrestleMania all weekend. So Chevy's just going to tell us about the co-main event and the main event from this past weekend's Fight Night card. Why don't we start with the co, Chevy?
It's just a couple of split decisions, two very close fight. A lot of decisions on this card. Unless you watch the early prelims, almost everything was a decision. So Damon Jackson squeaked out a split decision over Alexander Hernandez, which he was favored to do anyway. And then Brennan Allen, Chris Curtis, too, took place mostly on the feet. Chris Curtis has, I believe, the highest takedown defense in middleweight division. Brennan was able to get him down a couple times, but Chris was very good at and Brennan would be on his back, and Chris would slide, put his shoulders down on the mat, and just sit up, and he got out like 4 or 5 times. On the feet, pretty even. I think Chris landed the harder shots for sure, but it ended up being a split decision win for Brennan Allen. Couple wonky scorecards, and unfortunately for Chris Curtis, he had to be stretchered out of the arena. I think he looked like a torn hamstring or something. Bummer for him. Very close fight, but Brennan Allen moves on. He's got to be fighting. I don't know how long Vittori's out, but he's got to be fighting a top level guy now.
Strickland, so tough. I mean, that whole camp, Strickland Curtis, I was just going to say, so tough. Really shows the improvement of Brendan Allen, though. This is a fight that he was finished by Curtis before, and he worked his way, got a win streak, and now he got the victory. And, I don't think you can really downplay this victory too much. I think Curtis, if anything, is underrated. He's had so many tough fights, and he's just always ready to fight, just like his training partner, Sean. And, he's got to be getting a big fight next. So good for Brendan Allen. Can't wait to see what he does next. Now, before we get to UFC 300, there was a couple of news and notes from this weekend Chevy was reminding me of. So let's talk about it. Why don't we, before we get to the announcement, why don't we go with the bad news, I guess we'll call it. John Jones, trouble again. What's going on here?
Yeah, John Jones. This is all alleged stuff. There's some conflicting reports, but apparently John Jones had a drug test visit. and the agent claimed that her life was threatened by John. She showed up. John was drunk, and he was yelling at them and threatened to kill her, basically. So John has come out immediately saying, you know, he's shown a video of them like high-fiving each other when they're leaving, which doesn't really say much. I mean, if she's afraid for her life, she's going to do whatever she needs to do. But John said he was taking a nap while also celebrating a friend's birthday, which that doesn't make sense, at his house, and was partying. So he was drunk or whatever, and he used some profanity, but he never raised his voice or got in her face, but claimed that she was incredibly unprofessional. So it's a lot of he said, she said.
Right.
It's going to come out in the wash. John Jones is going to be completely free and clear of everything because he always gets away with this bullshit. And he's going to continue to be the quote unquote heavyweight champion, even though the BMF belt has now been defended more times than the heavyweight championship in the last like 4 years.
Couple things real quick on this. Again, it is all allegedly, but one, if you're John Jones, and you're saying anything possibly threatening at all or in a mood, not a good look, especially with a smaller, like, you know, I'd imagine smaller female, you know, going into you, just bad look, you know? So, yeah, you could feel like your life is threatened. So, you know, that. Also, again, he said, she said, right? But you were taking a nap at a party, but I had a little bit of booze. Now, it sounds like you were passing out because you were drunk when you tell me that. I'm just saying, like, again, wasn't there, but if a friend of mine told me that, like, that would be my response. I'm like, oh, you were drunk. I get it. I get sleepy when I start drinking too, you know? But anyway, yeah, that's what that sounds like. That's crazy, but not crazy because we've seen this stuff so many times. I will say this, Chevy, though, much as I agree with you that John has always got a pass, one thing we have to look out for this time is, I could be messed up on my timeline, but the last time John really messed up, I think this was, you know, before we had like the TKO merge and everything like that. I'm not saying anything with Ariel Emanuel, but I'm just saying there's a lot more spotlight on this company right now. And you are an aging fighter with still a big name, but an aging fighter, and they do not need you as much anymore. So not a good time. The only thing I would say is it's not as bad as some of this other guys' past, but boy, he doesn't have a lot to work with, right? So,
yeah, that's a good point that they definitely don't need him. And also, this is like his third offense with, you know, with a woman, basically.
Let's put it this way. Because it's a he said, she said, and nobody actually was physically harmed, I won't be surprised if he gets away with anything. If this was like in the past, and this was like some drunken driving bullshit, and it was a pregnant woman, I don't think Ariel Emanuel, he'd just be like, fuck out of it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we'll see what happens with this. But
you might see some underhanded stuff, some subtle things where they force John into a fight before he wants to. They don't give him the Stipe fight. They make him fight Tom Aspinall, put all their chips on Tom. He's the new champion, kind of thing. So
you never know. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Don't give him the exit that he's looking for. But I don't know. We'll see. I hate John Jones though, and I can't wait for him to be gone from the sport.
Absolutely. It's not a good look, I guess. But going to say? So there was other news, too, though.
Yeah, so Dana posted a video of Connor walking through the, like, underground parking lot and said, coming soon on his Instagram or something like that. There has been previously at a press conference a big Connor fight announcement. So there's some rumblings that maybe we'll get that here at UFC 300. The press conference, which if you're listening to the audio version of this, will have already happened because it will happen on Thursday, is going to have every fighter on the card. So it will be an all-time great press conference for sure. So perfect time to reveal some Connor news or something like that.
Like I was saying, the off-air too, I don't know if Connor's going to fight again, but if you're teasing something like this, at this point, you're wasting everybody's time if it's not a fight. It's just from a business standpoint. Why get people excited? They're already, at this point, a lot of people don't believe anything with him coming up. So They're already jaded about Connor. So if you're going to do something, just do it now, I would say. I wouldn't even advertise it. I guess it doesn't hurt. But at this point, like I said, everybody's so jaded. I just, you know, but we'll see what happens.
I bet it'll be a international fight week fight. You know, I'm assume that him and
Chandler
will be fighting. And now that Connor's done with his movie tour thing that he has to do, he can focus on fighting and drinking and doing drugs and cheating on his wife or whatever he does, allegedly.
All right.
Let's move on to some real fighters, though.
Let's talk about it. UFC 300 this weekend. And, man, I am here for this card. We're going to go all over the main card. But, Chevy, you wanted just to announce some of these undercard fights because there's so many good fights coming up.
Yeah, we're just going to go through every fight because every single fight on this card is tremendous. So the card starts off with Davison Figueiredo coming up to bantamweight against Cody Garbrandt. That's how the card's kicking off. Then
I'll do a quick pick'ems too for him.
Okay.
Davidson.
Going with Davidson. I'm gonna pick Cody.
Okay.
I think Cody's chin gets tested, but I'm gonna pick him. I think he's a live dog.
I want him, but I just feel David. I still don't trust that chin completely with that power of Davidson. But
continue. And we're moving on to Bobby Green versus Jim fucking Miller. And you know, I think that Bruce needs to call him Jim fucking Miller. That's what he wants. Show him some respect.
Bobby Green. I love Jim Miller, but I feel like Bobby Green's been fighting a little more consistent lately.
He's much slicker and everything, too. I think Jim Miller gets a sub.
That would be the way Jim wins. Okay. Yep.
Jessica Andrade versus Marina Rodriguez. That's a very good matchup. Very close fight.
I like the way Andrade looked in her last fight. To me, there's still some life in her. I'm going to go with Andrade.
Yeah, I feel exactly the same. Picking her as well. And then to finish off the early prelims, Jalen Turner versus Renato Moicano. What a fight.
I love that fight. Moicano. I can't say his name. But yes, you know who I want.
He is wild, but I'm going to pick Jalen Turner. I think he's just so tall and long and great at range. Then we're going to move on to the regular prelims. Sadiq Youssef versus Diego Lopez. I'm glad Diego has made it on this card. He's a very exciting up-and-comer. Yeah.
I'll go Diego Lopez, actually.
Me too. I think he gets a KO.
Okay.
And we'll move on to women's bantamweight bout. Holly Holm versus UFC debutante and gold medalist Kayla Harrison.
Okay. This is tougher than you think because I don't know what Kayla Harrison's going to look like after her weight cut.
Big weight cut, yeah.
Let's assume she has an amazing weight cut. I'll pick her. I'll say she gets it done. But at the same time, Holly Holm has all that experience and makes this weight all the time. Now, I'm going with Holly. I'm going with Holly for the upset.
I'm going to pick Kayla. I'm going to say submission. I think she's probably, I mean, she knows the weight cut is her biggest battle. She's a winner, so I think she'll have had it figured out by now.
You're right. Never mind. Cancel that. I'm going to agree with you on that one because also if she misses weight, she'll probably win anyway. So it doesn't matter. Anyway.
Yeah. All right. Moving on. Calvin Kattar versus Aljamain Sterling. Aljo moving up to featherweight.
Got to go with Aljo. Kattar's great. Slick on the feet. I think Aljo is going to be pretty good at this weight class, and I could see Aljo maybe contending for the featherweight title. Not necessarily winning it, but I could definitely see him earning a shot here with a few key wins.
Yeah, I think his body's really made for featherweight. I don't really understand how he was making bantamweight, but I think you're going to see a whole new level to him. I'm with you. I'm picking Aljo as well. And then the feature bout on the prelims, which would be a main event on a lot of fight night cards, Jiří Prochazka versus Alexander Rakic.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to go Prochazka. I think Prochazka is just that good. And honestly, I don't think he fought the best stylistically fight the last time against Behera. And I still think he almost won on a couple different occasions there. So I just feel like, yeah.
Yeah, I'm picking Prochazka too. I think he's so unorthodox. It's very hard for Rakic to deal with that. His explosiveness is going to be the key. So I'm picking Jiří by TKO. All right, and then let's get into this main card. We're going to go through the whole main card here elaborately. So we're going to start off with Bo Nickel versus Cody Brundage.
All right. This is a tough fight, I think, possibly for Bo Nickel. I mean, he might dominate, but this is definitely a step up in competition. Cody Brundage is 10-5, 5 KOs, 3 subs, 1 decision, 1 disqualification win. He's on a 2-fight win streak, and his last win was a slam, but it was a slam KO. So, you know, Cody's had some fights in the UFC, and I don't think that he's just going to get in there and submit it in a couple seconds. That being said, Bo Nickel, 5-0, TKOs, 3 subs, one of the greatest prospects of all time, and no one's came close to even touching him yet. So, although he might get some resistance, I'll still say the smart money's on Bo Nickel.
Yeah, Bo Nickel round one submission. Yeah. Probably early on. So unless Bo decides he wants to showcase his striking, he just thinks we know he's confident. So if he thinks he's just levels above Cody, wants to risk it, wants to showcase that striking, who knows at that point, because we haven't really seen it yet. We still don't know enough about Bo, but Cody's a good step up for him. So I expect the round one sub. But if he goes to striking, who knows how it ends. But regardless, if Bo wins this fight, he needs a top 10 opponent. I know he only has 5 fights, but he's looked so dominant. I think you got to get him a top 10, at least a top 15. All right, let's move on. Charles Oliveira versus Arman Tsarukyan. And I am so excited for this card.
Arman is a dog. He is 21-3. He's got 9 knockouts, 5 subs, 7 decisions. He's 8-2 in the UFC. He's won 3 in a row, but here's the kicker. His last win was a TKO, over Benil Dariush. And Benil was on his way to a title shot until recently. So Benil, although a couple of hard fights in his last couple of fights, that is such a quality win to get the finish over Benil.
He knocked him out. Well, he only had 1 foot on the ground, too. And if you remember that, he was like going to throw a knee and adjusted and threw a hook while his leg was in the air. And he knocked, like, basically took him off his feet. It's very impressive.
It is. However, this is the big, big step up right here. All right. Mm-hmm. Charles Oliveira, 34-9-1, 10 KOs, 21 subs, 3 decisions, former lightweight champion, 3 fight of the nights. 13 performance of the night bonuses. All right. This guy's the all-time bonus king, I believe, or at least most performance nights in UFC.
Most submissions, for sure.
Definitely. Most submissions. Yeah, sure. He had submission of the night 3 times, too, back when they used to do that. So Charles Oliveira is looking to get back into this. I don't think he's been out, like, farting around. Like, I think he's been out making sure he's ready to come back. So I got Charles Oliveira here. Could be a fun fight because Charles always seems to get himself in dog fights, but I'm going to say Charles Oliveira, second round submission. He might get knocked around a bit a few times here, but by that second round, I think you'll catch him with something.
Yeah, I love Charles. Who doesn't? But I think Arman is a problem. Charles always very dangerous and can finish anywhere, but I think Arman is technically better everywhere except for submission offense. I think that Arman frustrates Charles and forces him to get a little bit wild. And when that chaos happens, I look for Arman to get the TKO. So I'll say round 3 TKO for Arman. And I like Arman, but I would prefer Charles to win. So I'll be sad.
Okay.
We'll move on to the BMF title fight. Justin Gaethje versus Max Holloway.
All right. Let's start off with Gaethje. 25-4. 20 KOs, 1 sub, 4 decision, former interim UFC light heavyweight champion, current UFC BMF championship. He's had fight of the night 7 times. Where is this? Performance of the night 5 times. Okay. This guy's just another bonus machine here. I think he's got the highest significant strike accuracy percentage in UFC lightweight division history. Okay. So, He's Mr. Excitement. But then you got his opponent, all right? Max Holloway, who's 25-7, 11 KOs, 2 subs, 12 decisions, former UFC featherweight champion. He's had, a knockout of the night, fight of the night 6 times. His performance of the night, too. Just this guy. He's, again, we're talking about 2 exciting bonus machine fighters that like to bring it. Now, here's where it gets interesting. Holloway's tried to make this weight before. This is a step up in weight class, and we saw against Dustin Poirier, who Justin have had, you know, great fights. Justin just KO'd Dustin, but it's a different time. All right, Max looks different. Max looks bigger. Max, unless it's fading right now, he has one of the most all-time Hall of Fame chins in this sport.
He's right? Never been knocked down in the octagon before. Down.
Heavy, heavy volume puncher. This is going to get fun. All right, my prediction, Justin Gaethje's going to knock him around. Justin Gaethje's going to come close to finishing him more than anybody. May even knock him down. Max is going to survive. And I know people thinking he's going to get Tony Ferguson. I'm going to go the opposite. Max will survive. Max will win this. And Max will TKO Justin. I'm saying it right now with volume shots in late round four.
Yeah, I love both guys, but obviously Max is my favorite fighter. When this fight was announced, I was saying I wasn't interested and I didn't want to see it because of the things that you talked about where Max had gone up before. But after watching the countdown shows and Max's YouTube, I'm sold on the fight for sure. Like you said, he's putting the weight on. And he's doing it right this time. So hopefully that will be enough. I hope that everyone is truly appreciative of these guys because they are basically the last of a dying breed of a certain type of fighter. Respectful strikers who are just cool as shit, you know. So I hope that people are going to appreciate this. And I think we're going to get an all-time great fight from both guys here. I think Max leans on his granite chin. Gaethje gets wild going for a finish. And in turn, Max stuns him and finishes him. I'm with you. I'm picking Max by TKO, but I'm going to say round three.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, either way, it's just and we could be wrong. Max could get knocked out for the first time in his career. But I'd imagine Justin is going to be a favorite, maybe just a slight favorite. I'm not sure. But we're in agreement. We're going with
knowing knowing Justin and knowing, I think it would be a big feather in his cap if he could knock out Max. And I think he's going to go for that very, very hard. And I think that's going to be his downfall.
That's what I said. I said that a few weeks ago. I think we talked about it. And I think he could get hung up on that. And that was before I even realized the size Max was putting on. So now I'm really sold on this, but we'll see. We'll see.
All right, let's get into this co-main event. Zhang Weili versus Yan Zhaonan.
All right, Yan is 17-3-1, 8 KOs, 9 decision, and she's coming off one of those wins over Jessica Andraz, too. So that's very impressive because we know how good Andraz is and how powerful she is. Performance of the night, she's a real deal candidate here. However, Zhang Weili, 24-3, 11 KOs, 8 subs, 5 decisions. You know, she's the women's strawweight champion right now, but like just the performances she's been putting on over Rose and everybody in the finishes she's gotten recently. She looks like such a killer. Her wrestling, right? She's been training with Cejudo. She looks so much bigger and stronger than everybody at this weight class than me. I'm not picking against Zhang right now. I'm just not. I'm going to go Zhang Weili, and I'm going to go round two, TKO, ground and pound.
It's a shame that this fight isn't on a card that's based in China. Big opportunity to draw attention from a giant market that the UFC would like to garner more of. But it is on a excellent card, so hopefully they can draw some Chinese eyes, but I respect Yan's striking. She has good takedown defense, but unless she's greatly improved, I'm with you. I have to pick Zhang. I think she's faster, stronger, more well-rounded. I think this one ends up going the distance. Both girls probably hurt each other at some point, but I think it goes the distance, and I think Zhang retains her title.
All right,
let's move on to this main event. Alex Pereira versus Jamahal Hill for the light heavyweight title.
Jamahal Hill is 12-1-1, 7 KOs, 5 decisions. He's the former light heavyweight champion, beating Glover Teixeira. Pereira, 9-2, 7 KOs, 2 decisions. this guy was one of the greats in kickboxing and had a legendary kickboxing career. And now he came over to MMA and he's been fast tracked and he's really put the work in. He beat his rival in kickboxing, Israel Adesanya, for the middleweight championship. Stylistically, a great fight for him because he's bigger than Izzy, and the way they fight, someone's always going to get knocked out. He got it, but then they had that rematch, and Izzy knocked him out. He went up to light heavyweight. He had that match there, that fight with Jan, and I thought Jan might have controlled him a little bit more, but at the end, it was very impressive because he didn't get submitted. He ended up getting the decision. And, you know, now he's the light heavyweight champ again because of Prochaska, the way he fights too. He likes to throw down. He's unorthodox, but that plays right into Behera's hand. So Behera is very talented, but he's also had some luck with some of these matchups here. I don't think that's necessarily going to change here. Jamal Hill is good. He's coming off a really bad injury, though. He never lost his title. And it's one of these fights because Jamal is, I would say, more well-rounded, like a lot of people are right now over Behera, because Behera is inexperienced still in MMA. I could see Jamal finishing him. I could see him. I could even see he's talked about he's going to go there and strike with him and do it. And there are ways I could see that even happening. But I'm not going to pick that. I'm going to say if you are going to do that, and Jamal Hill, he makes me believe when I listen to him, if that does seem to be his plan, I think it's going to backfire. I like Alex Behera. I'm going to say round two again. I guess I like that number today. Round two, TKO, because I think it's going to be fireworks. And there is something about this guy's career where when the spotlight's on brightest, other than that rematch with Stavner and UFC 300, this guy seems to know how to win. Champions know how to win. So I'm going with Alex Behera. Round two, TKO.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think people are disrespecting Hill when it comes to this fight. Alex gets hit. Jamal is big. He's rangy and he hits like a truck. Yeah. So I think he could KO Alex, even though Alex is technically better on his feet. The way he closes distance is tough for a guy like Alex, who is a counterpuncher, but he just gets in there so hard, he'll trade those shots. So the real question, though, is Hill's injury, the Achilles injury. He has had 9 months to recover. And if you watch football, you know Aaron Rodgers, similar injury, similar time frame. But Hill has, to my knowledge, remained in the testing pool. So I don't think he's using all the same peptides or whatever other supplements to get that injury where it needs to be. So that is a big question mark. 9 months for that kind of injury, very tough. So that being said, I am going to pick Hill. I'm going to say, you know, he's come back right. And I think that Behera might be a little bit overconfident. And I think he's going to get touched up a little bit here and there. So I'm going to pick Hill KO round two. But if Alex targets that leg early and lands on it, I could see it going the other way and Alex get the KO. But I'm going to pick Hill round two KO.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think it's going to be a dogfight. And I think either one of those guys has the ability to finish for sure. So should be a fun card. A
lot of finishes on this card, I think.
Before we get out and we tell everybody what's going on and we talk about our sponsor one more time, what fight are you looking forward to most this weekend?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, I gotta say the BMF title. Max is my favorite fighter. But I'm also very excited to see Bo Nickel again. I want to see him progress and be challenged, though. So I don't think he's really going to get challenged in this one. But I got to say the BMF one's definitely my number one. Also very happy that Jim Miller's getting on 300 with a great matchup against Bobby Green.
I agree with all that. All right. Why don't we tell people what we got coming up one more time?
All right. April 19th, PFL 2024 regular season, Koroshkov versus Umulatov. And Brennan Ward, that's what we care about the most here at Working Fans. Brennan Ward getting a fight. Also, Brennan Lochnane on the card, my favorite PFL fighter. So, and then April 27th, UFC Fight Night, Nicolau versus Perez. Cop had to pull out again. And then May 4th, UFC 301 from Brazil, Pantoja versus Ersag.
All right, guys. Enjoy UFC 300 this weekend and enjoy some Game Up.
If you haven't tried Game Up, then you are missing out. Imagine your favorite seltzer and your favorite sports drink had a baby, but it's way better than that. Each can is 110 calories, low carb, 4.9 ABV. It's a nice light drink that is not light on flavor. Game Up comes in fruit punch, orange, lemon, lime, and grape. Pick it up at drinkgameup.com or at your nearest liquor store.
All right, so that wraps us up for this week. Thank you again for listening to the Working Fans Podcast. So as always, you can find us on Twitter at Fans Working. Our Facebook page is Working Fans Wrestling Pod. We have email where you can reach out to us and let us know what you think also. That's workingfanswrestlingpod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram, workingfanswrestling_pod. And then as always, please continue to listen to us on anchor.fm, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Breaker, Overcast, Pocket Casts, Radio Public, all your major platforms. If you're following us on Apple Podcasts, which we are also on now, and YouTube, please make sure you subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. It helps us bring you these podcasts where we get to talk to you and talk with you every week.